Good morning, and thank you for joining us here on KBBI AM 890 Homer. It's time for the coffee table. I'm Quentin Chandler, and today joining us in the studio are our two borough assembly representatives for the Southern Kenai, Kelly Cooper and Willie Dunn. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning. So we're going to be taking a look at what is happening at these assembly meetings and what's happening outside the meetings as well and what's coming up in the future. But first, let's just get the easy stuff out of the way. I'm wondering if you guys can, I know most people already know you, but humor me. Can you both just explain how long you've been on the Borough Assembly and what areas of the community you represent? We'll start with you, Kelly.
My name is Kelly Cooper, and I have District 8. And so I represent the Homer area, Ketchumak City, and just a little bit to the other side of the Homer area. And I've been on the assembly since 2014.
Okay, a couple of years now. And Willie, what about you?
Hey, thanks, Quentin. I recently was elected to the borough, so I'm fairly new at this. I replaced Mako Haggerty as the assembly member for District 9, and that district covers a good chunk of the southern Kenai Peninsula. It's kind of a donut-shaped district. It runs from Anchor Point up to the head of Ketchumak Bay, south across the bay, including the communities on the southern part of the bay, down to Seldovia, Port Graham, and Nanwalek, but does not include the city of Homer and Ketchumak City, which are part of District 8, Kelly's district. So our districts are intertwined quite a bit, so Kelly and I work closely together on the southern Kenai Peninsula issues.
Thank you very much. And Willie, we haven't had you on the show, at least, since you were running for borough. It's great to have you back. What have the first few months on the assembly been like for you?
Well, it's been quite a learning experience. It's been really fascinating and lots of homework. I came into this, having lived in the borough for a number of years and having followed borough issues and had my ear pretty close to the ground as far as what was going on and what people were concerned about, but I've learned a tremendous amount about, our schools, our roads, our solid waste, our emergency services. It's been quite a learning experience, and every assembly meeting we have a lot on our plate. So a lot of reading, a lot of homework to do, a lot of talking with constituents. It's been pretty fascinating.
I imagine that's a pretty steep learning curve to work your way through. Is there anything that you've noticed as a newcomer to the assembly that you would hoped would change down the road, or anything that you are impressed about that you didn't know happened on the assembly?
Well, I'm very impressed with the level of detail that the assembly addresses issues. You know, we look at proposed ordinances and changes to our legislation in great detail. We get lots of public comment. We have in my district, I know I have a very diverse group of constituents, and a lot of people are vocal about their concerns and their needs for borough government, and I hear from them, and that's really, really wonderful. So I'd suggest that constituents keep that up. Let us know what's important to you. As you said, excuse me, it is a steep learning curve, and I feel like I'm I'm still kind of on the steep part of that curve. I've only been at it for a few months, so I hope to continue learning more. But it's quite a broad range of subjects that we address, and I'm sure we'll get into some of those here soon.
Well, thank you very much for that, and good luck to you figuring all of that out. So we're going to move on now. I'm wondering if I can get a quick wrap-up from both of you on what you think the most important issues facing the assembly right now are, or maybe the most time-consuming issues that you're dealing with. Kelly, can you start us off?
Sure. Thanks, Quentin. We really have to, I would say the most important thing is our budget. You know, the state is really struggling, and although the borough is in better shape financially, we rely on a lot of capital projects, and so with that capital funding not coming, that could be a real issue for us. With the funding for education, that could affect us tremendously. The issues that we're dealing with at the borough level is all the change, you know, with the marijuana regulation and the fear of people not understanding how that will affect them, their concerns that it may affect their property values, which I don't agree with. And so when you start looking at regulation like that, then you automatically go into other ordinances such as the local option zoning. So we're spending an awful lot of time on that, as well as the healthcare. These are all very large expenses for the borough, but they're also, they affect people's quality of life, and they have valid concerns. And so my goal this year and in the past year is to just help people in the community understand what this really means and help educate them, as well as educating myself as we go along, to understand what's best for the borough and to listen to our constituents based on what they voted for.
Thank you, Kelly. And Willie, anything to add there on what you think is most important things facing the borough and the most time-consuming things that the Assembly is wading through?
Well, I agree with Kelly that we've been focusing or spending a lot of time on marijuana legislation, which was recently passed for commercial marijuana establishments in the borough. And then the healthcare. The healthcare task force has been, you know, deliberating for quite a while. The borough assembly gets regular updates from the healthcare task force. I've attended a couple of subcommittee meetings. Kelly is on the task force, and so we're, you know, looking very closely at what we can do there. Education, you know, schools are a huge part of the borough's responsibility, and we're going to be meeting with some of the school board school administration next week and discussing budgets. And as Kelly mentioned, you know, with the declining state revenues, that has an impact on the borough. There's going to be some cost shifting going on as the state reduces budgets. Some of those costs will be shifted to local municipal governments. So we'll be picking up things that the state is not covering any longer. And there's, you know, it's too soon to tell right now, but there's a lot of legislation being addressed at the state level. And you know, the revenue sources, budgets. I know Representative Paul Seaton recently introduced a bill to modify the senior exemption to property taxes. So there's a whole bunch of things on the table that we're going to have to look at and do some juggling and trying to figure out what's best for everybody.
You mentioned that there were some costs that could be pushed onto the borough's plate, pushed down from the state legislature. Wondering what are some of those issues that you know, you might see pop up on the borough's budget that the state has usually handled?
Well, we have, you know, with the senior exemption, we used to get reimbursed for that, and we haven't for quite some time now. So one of the bills that is being looked at the state level is putting the ability for the local governments to say yes or no on allowing a senior exemption. So that's going to be a very hot topic and a lot of passion for people, and understanding what that's going to look like for us if we do maintain that exemption, if we adjust that based on need. So that'll be a large one. And then PERS and TERS, you know, with revenue sharing, they are cutting that back, and they're actually not doing any funding for that in the future for forward or backward funding. So the PERS and TERS is a huge liability for us, and that's going to be a big issue for us to look at as well.
Thank you. PERS and TERS, revenue sharing, funding the school district, all of these things were mentioned in the borough's legislative priority list that was sent out to the legislature. And I understand, my understanding of that list was it was, you know, just to make sure, considering that the state is in such a tight fiscal position, that list, my understanding was just to keep these things on the legislature's horizon, to make keep it in front of them, let them know that these things haven't gone away, even if they're not going to be putting any significant money toward those issues right now. Wondering if you've Kelly, have you guys heard any feedback from the legislature on that list that you sent out?
Well, you know, actually, Willie flew into Juneau and visited with our legislators, so he may be better able to answer that.
Okay, how about it, Willie?
Yeah, I did have the opportunity to spend a few days down in Juneau and meet with our legislators, and you know, they're in kind of a crisis mode down there. There is a huge state deficit looming. You know, estimates between $3.5 billion and $4 billion, and there's I think they're not really focusing on funding capital projects, as we mentioned. They're trying to stop the bleeding right now, and with low oil prices, figure out how to keep services happening without going bankrupt. So I got a positive reception from all of the legislators. They're aware of the needs of the borough, you know, there's just not the funding that there used to be for capital projects. So our legislative priority list is in front of them. They're aware of it, and we'll just have to see how things shake out as far as the state budget. You know, there's three or four different proposals. The governor has a proposal. Senator McGuire has a proposal. Representative Seaton has a proposal for funding government, and they're all a little bit different, but they all look at possibility of taxes, possibility of using the earnings reserves of the permanent fund. So they still have a lot of work to do, and we'll know more in the next couple of months.
Right, and as far as the issues that are not capital projects on that priority list, PERS and TERS, revenue funding, what was our legislators, I guess, response to those? What did they say about those?
Well, they're aware of the severity of the situation with the PERS situation. As far as state, currently there's a state law which the maximum that municipalities will contribute is 22% towards the PERS employee benefits, and that could come off the table, and that could be a huge hit to local municipalities, including our borough. So, you know, I talked about the cost shifting, and if the state does, you know, take action that results in higher costs to the municipalities, it looks like, you know, taxes might increase. I don't know. I don't want to say that's a definite result, but if the state is not willing to tax, you know, state residents, that tax burden might shift to the local residents, the property owners and sales taxpayers.
Okay, so not doom and gloom, but not good news either. Anything positive come out of that meeting?
Well, I'd say we're in a wait and see situation. Like I said, they have a huge item on their plate just with balancing the budget. So we're just going to have to wait and see.
Okay. So I'm going to shift over to you, Kelly. You mentioned some of the more hands-on things that the Borough Assembly is tackling right now, includes marijuana regulation. The City of Homer is looking at the same thing as our municipalities across the state. It's a big question, a lot of moving parts to it. Wondering what you're seeing in the Borough Assembly. What options are you guys looking at?
Well, we just recently passed our marijuana regulation, and, you know, there were some concerns, and I actually just found out if a city chose to opt out or ban marijuana, then it could affect a 10-mile radius, you know, outside of the city, but that's only for unincorporated boroughs, so that won't affect Homer, and there was a lot of concern about that. Won't affect areas outside of the Homer city limits if they do a ban. But you know what we've done at the Assembly is we've had so much testimony, and we've had a lot of input from our constituents, and if you don't pass any regulation, then you're just going to automatically adopt what the state does. And we wanted to make sure that we were doing a fair and balanced legislation where people that were wanting to get in this industry could do it without too many hurdles and too many blocks. I'm not real happy with the marijuana amendment to the local option zoning, saying that they could not be in there, because I think that that should be treated at the local option zoning, and marijuana industry should be treated like a sawmill or a liquor store or anything else. So I would hope that we could get that changed down the road. But really what we're trying to do is we're going to have the Planning Commission be the regulatory agency that would be looking at that. But we shifted that back to the Borough Assembly to treat it like alcohol. Our regulations are very fair. I think they're reasonable. Our marijuana task force worked very hard for a year, bringing forth some good recommendations, and our Planning Commission, they have as well. So I think the legislation that we have now is going to be good. You know, we did increase it from 500 to 1,000 feet to accommodate the concerns of people in the proximity of schools and churches and playgrounds, etc. But I think it's a great regulation, and people have been able to start applying for their licenses. And I don't want us to legislate based on fear. I want us to do something that's appropriate, what our constituents ask for, and then we can deal with any issues that may arise as they come up. But I don't want us to react and pass legislation just based on pure fear and speculation. I think the legislation that we have in place now that passed is going to be great, and it's going to allow people to get started on their businesses. Because we have to remember, too, part of that legislation is really about medical marijuana as well. And I just am really happy that we're able to do this, where people can take part responsibly, people that have medical needs can do that, and move forward.
Thanks. So You mentioned that you are happy, mostly happy, with the regulation that the Borough Assembly has passed. And I'm wondering if you can kind of go into some of the details on that, the regulation that we have now. What is allowed for a marijuana business, and also what, I guess, restrictions, requirements do people have to meet as far as applying for licenses?
Well, that's really regulated at the state level. Mm-hmm. So what we will be doing at the borough level is we will be monitoring the state regulations, and then businesses will have to apply through the borough, and we will have the opportunity to protest a license or the renewal of a license and monitor that. But really our regulations are mirrored to what the state has, other than that 1,000-foot distance. There was an amendment that was brought to the table last week. I don't know when it was, been 2 weeks, maybe, I don't know. But they were wanting to do an amendment to our ordinance saying that you couldn't use the marijuana on site, and we did get that voted down, because that is not, it hadn't been vetted through the public. People didn't have an opportunity to give public testimony, and the state is allowing that. So if it becomes an issue down the road, then we can certainly do some amendments, but I just think it's great regulation.
All right. And Willie, do you have anything you would like to add?
Well, yeah, like Kelly said, we've gotten a lot of information. This has been very thoroughly researched. We got tons of public comment. The Borough Task Force, Marijuana Task Force, did a lot of work on this. And what I found quite interesting was that at the end of the vote, when we were voting to enact the borough regulations for commercial marijuana, it was a unanimous vote. 9 yes votes on the proposed regulations. And we have some very, very conservative members of the Borough Assembly who who were part of this process. And, you know, in the end, they all voted yes. So that lets me know that it was a balanced ordinance. And like Kelly said, it very closely mirrors the state regulations. The Assembly will treat marijuana licenses very similar to liquor licenses. We'll look at them and have the chance to voice an objection or a non-objection. And slightly more restrictive than state regulations, because it requires a 1,000-foot separation from schools, whereas the state regulations are only 500 feet. And a couple other regulations that the Planning Commission requested as far as parking and access into commercial marijuana establishments to make that to prevent parking on borough streets and to have good ingress and egress from marijuana establishments.
What kind of testimony have you heard from members of the public who were commenting on the regulations that the Assembly has passed? Kelly?
We have had a full house anytime we have marijuana regulation coming before the assembly. And really, I would say that there were quite a bit of testimony regarding fear of what that would do to their community and whether it would affect property values. And I'm hoping that people will continue to research and learn everything that they can, because I don't expect that it will hurt their property values. It's a business to be treated like any other business. And then we had a lot of passionate testimony from people that were feeling grateful that they could finally do it legally and not have to worry about the underground portion of marijuana. And it's the medical marijuana as well. It is huge. And so I think that we heard our constituents, you know, the vote on Prop 2, it passed on the peninsula. So I think our testimony reflected that percentage of voting, just like the polls did. And I'm very happy with how it turned out.
Okay. And Willie, do you think the same as Kelly, that it was a pretty decent spread between people who were supportive and people who were worried about what the effect of commercial cannabis will have on their community?
Yeah, we heard testimony from all parts of the spectrum, from both ends of the spectrum, and from people in the middle. And in addition to, you know, what Kelly mentioned, we also heard from people looking for business opportunities. So, you know, part of the voter initiative to treat marijuana like alcohol was for business opportunity and tax revenue. So we heard a lot of testimony about the benefits to the borough from bringing in taxes and bringing or supporting local small business too.
All right. Well, we are going to move on here in a little bit, but first I want to throw out our phone number. If anyone wants to call in and ask a question of our borough assembly representatives here, you can call the coffee table toll-free, 1-800-279-5224, or you can call, if you're here locally, 907-235-7721. And before we go to the next subject, just wondering, is this pretty much the end of deliberating over regulating commercial marijuana for the borough assembly, or do you guys have more coming up?
You know, Quentin, we don't have any more coming up right at this time, but like any new industry, I expect that there will continue to be testimony and requests for legislation to amend that. And I think it'll take a couple of years for us to finally realize that this wasn't the big, horrible thing that we thought it was going to be coming into our community. And so I would expect a couple more years of people coming and wanting amendments. But I think we've done a good job.
All right. So next, you, I guess this actually isn't totally a completely different subject, but you guys have already mentioned local options zoning. And I'm wondering if you can give me a brief explanation of what that is and also how this ties to marijuana. Willie.
Sure. Well, I am fairly new to the process, so I have not been involved with this for a long time, but I'm on the very steep part of the learning curve is for local option zoning. We already have local option zoning in the borough. It allows neighborhoods to get together and with a certain percentage of property owners within a neighborhood or within an area that's proposed, you can create your own local option zoning district. And, it restricts what sort of businesses and what sort of activities can happen within that local option zone. A lot of that, my impression was from years past, a lot of local option zones were enacted to protect residential areas from gravel pits and material extraction sites. And more recently, with the legalization of commercial marijuana establishments, that was thrown into the mix. So the borough had been looking at updating the local option zone regulations, refining them, making the process make a lot more sense, making it easier for people to work with the planning department and the assembly to create a local option zone. And when the commercial marijuana regulations came into place, that was tacked on. So at our last assembly meeting, you know, we looked at the proposal to prevent commercial marijuana establishments within 300 feet of a local option zone, which was proposed, and that was deleted. So, you know, people can still form a local option zoning district, and under the new regulations, if they're passed, we're still deliberating those, and we haven't voted on those yet, but if the new regulations pass as written right now, they would not be able to, or commercial marijuana establishments would not be allowed in a local option zone, but they could be adjacent, just outside the local option zone. So it's a pretty detailed proposal. It includes provisions for home businesses. It includes provisions for livestock. It includes things on how much development can occur on a residential property. It includes provisions for protecting waterfront properties. So it's quite complex, and we're still deliberating it. We'll be looking at that in more depth in our April meeting.
Okay. So it is, as you said, complex. There's a lot of detail as far as, you know, putting these ordinances together, looking at how a local option zone will work. But the simple explanation, I guess you would say, is it just basically gives people a community or an area, a neighborhood, control of you know, what kind of businesses are allowed inside of their area.
That is pretty accurate, Quentin. But the way the local option zoning is currently written, if you are already there and people come in and buy lots and they build their houses and then they outnumber you, they could come in and say, oh, we don't want that gravel pit anymore, even though it was there when we bought the property. And now there's enough of us that we can stop that activity or a hayfield or whatever business it may be. So one of the amendments that we're looking at for the local option zoning is any parcels that are 5 acres or larger will not be included in that local option zoning. And then your activities that are already there, if the local option zoning passes, you will have the ability to contact the borough and say, you know, we need a variance or a non-conforming, and be able to disclose that you're already doing that, and that protects you going forward if that local option does pass. We had a work session with the Planning Commission, and as we dug into that very large ordinance, we found that we really had much more work to do on that before we could hear it that evening, and so that's why it was postponed. But it drills down, and before you had to have 75% of the property owners sign the petition before you can go forward. Well, one of the amendments was only 50%, and we really felt that there should be a area somewhere in between. So we're looking more at the 60% percentage before the petition can come forward to the assembly. And then at the end of the day, the assembly still is the one that decides whether we pass it or reject it. So I'm really pleased that the large parcels are not going to be included in that. I'm glad that the buffer, it really bothered me for any business, whatever it may be, would have a 300-foot buffer. So they would be affected by the rules of the local option zoning without having a vote. And that really bothered me. So I would much rather have us do it at aesthetically, whether it be through landscaping or slope design or something else. But if you're going to be included in the rules of a local option zoning, you should have a vote. So I'm glad that buffer went away for now, and we'll continue to fight to not have that included in that.
All right. Thank you for adding that in for me, Kelly. When exactly do you think that this is going to be resolved? When you said that the ordinance on this was pushed back a little bit, do you think the assembly is going to tackle it again? And when do you think we're going to see the final result?
We're going to be looking at it, I think, at our April 5th meeting. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but I believe it's April 5th. so we'll be discussing that, taking more public testimony, and debating the issue then. Whether or not it will pass then, I don't know. So people will have plenty of opportunity to voice their opinions about it before then, and potentially after April 5th also.
And is this similar to the marijuana regulations as far as public feedback? Are a lot of people concerned about this? Are a lot of people, you know, giving you guys information as to how this might affect them individually?
We are just starting to get some feedback. The testimony that we received last week was a person coming up with a industry that may not be looked upon favorably in a local option zoning, saying, well, my industry's all right, but I don't want that industry in there. So it's going to take a lot of public testimony and a lot of education, again, to help everyone understand that, you know, we have to treat all of these industries alike and legislate fairly for them, and we can't just pick and choose which industries are going to be represented.
All right. Thank you very much. And Willie, did you have something else you wanted to say?
I just wanted to say we really encourage public input, and you don't have to come up to the Borough Assembly meeting to testify. You can do that online. We have a very user-friendly website that you can find at kpb.us and go to the Borough Assembly website, and we can accept testimony and comments through that website. That's a very good way to comment.
And you can also testify through the Borough Annex if you give us 2 weeks' notice, because we have to do public notice. So if we have 2 weeks' notice, we can open up the Borough Annex if we have enough people that want to testify from the Homer area.
All right, great. Well, we have a – is this a person on the line that wants to jump in on this? We have Finley on line one. Hi, Finley. One second. It's going to take a minute to get Finley on the line. Okay, there we go. I think we got you. Finley, are you there? Okay, we don't have Finley yet, so we'll just go on.
No, I'm here.
Okay, there you go, Finley. We got you.
Oh, okay. Listen, I wanted to, well, first of all, I want to thank Willie for stepping forward and taking this position, because I had a lot of confidence in how he's going to do. But I wanted to ask about what they think about the term limits, because we've just lost, you know, really good legislators, representatives, you know, Millie Martin, Bill Smith, Michael Haggerty, just because of term limits. And I don't see the point of that, you know, and seems to work against Homer. What do you think about the term limit law and whether it should be there or not? And I'll just hang up. Thanks.
Thanks for calling in, Finley. It's a very good question. So, Willie, what do you think about Finley's concern about term limits?
Well, thanks for the question, Finley. That's a really good discussion topic. term limits can be a double-edged sword, that's for sure. But you know, it was the will of the voters, and so I support that and until it's overturned by the voters. However, you lose a lot of institutional knowledge. It takes a while, I'm learning, to learn all the ins and outs of this. And after your first term, you're probably more familiar with it, and then after the second term, you're out. You know, if the voters wanted to overturn term limits, that's up to the voters. But in the meantime, you know, I will stand by the will of the voters and we'll stick with the two-term limit. However, we do have a new assembly member who was on the assembly previously. So, you know, people can run again after sitting out a term. So assembly member Gary Knopp is back on the assembly after having termed out. So, as long as the voters want term limits, we'll abide by that.
All right. Thank you, Willie. And Kelly, do you have any thoughts on term limits and Finley's concerns there?
Well, I certainly understand Finley's viewpoint. There is a steep learning curve in any public office. And when it was brought forth to the assembly over and over, the constituents were very upset that we were not listening to them. So, as Willie said, we will abide by the term limits, and if there are enough constituents that would like that changed, I think it would need to come from the constituents, and not their frustration before was the assembly continuing to run at it, and they said, are you not hearing us? So if people are concerned about the term limits and want that changed, it should come from a referendum from the citizens. And the knowledge of Millie and Bill and Mako was so broad. But I can assure you that Willie and I both have wonderful relationships with all three of those previous assembly members, and we reach out to them and lean on them for their continued expertise. And they continue to be involved in service areas or boards. So we haven't lost them, even though they're not sitting at the podium anymore. They're still very involved in the community, and they guide us and mentor us as we have questions as we go along the way.
Thank you very much, Kelly. That, I believe, is a good time for us to go ahead and take a break. We will be back here on the coffee table in just a few moments. But first, I'm going to throw out our phone numbers again. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-279-5224. And you can also call us here locally at 907-235-7721. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Coffee Table. And today we are talking with our Borough Assembly representatives for the Southern Kenai Peninsula, Willie Dunn and Kelly Cooper. We have been going on over a few things, and now we're going to leap into healthcare reform and the healthcare task force that the borough has working right now. It's a nice can of worms to talk about. So, Kelly, you are actually on the task force as well as the assembly, so I guess you have a unique perspective here. Can you share with us what the assembly has heard from the task force so far?
Thanks, Quentin. The task force is meeting once or twice a month. We have Stroudwater as our consultant, and they were here in January and spent a lot of time with the community, Seward, Homer, Kenai, Soldotna, talking to all of the people that are involved in healthcare and how that would affect us. They looked at our financials and then gave a presentation to the assembly as well as the task force. And really, they were, my largest takeaways from them was they were very comfortable with our financial status. They were surprised at the geographical mileage between the three communities. So when you look at the lower 48 and you look at hospitals combining or merging, 50 miles in the lower 48 is jumping on an interstate and you're there. On the peninsula, it's a much different picture. And then we have a much larger aging population. So they gathered all of this information and they spoke to, providers and administrators and the public and boards and the assembly and the task force. And then they're now compiling all of their information. We have a work session with the task force and the provider subcommittee next week to look at some kind of a charter. And then at the end of the month, Stroudwater will be back and we'll be doing another work session taking in all of the information that they've compiled for us and looking at the recommendations, and then we start that whole next chapter of what that looks like for our communities. We have people that are very concerned about the task force and what we're doing, and I would remind everyone this is a public task force. All the meetings are open to the public. You can attend each and every meeting, and there's a space in every meeting for public testimony, as well as you can go to the website, and all of our agendas and all of the documents and all of the material that's been provided to us is on the Healthcare Task Force tab of our website. So please stay involved. Please stay informed about what's going on. And just know that it's a long process. It's not going to happen overnight. There were concerns that we would be looking at this and then it would be going on to the ballot this fall. There's absolutely no way we can get through all of the information and come up with a reasonable conclusion and recommendation in time for the fall election. So my advice to the community is to stay involved. Participate and reach out to task force or your assembly members and let us know what your concerns are or what information you think we're missing at that table.
Thank you, Kelly. And you already, so from what you said, I'm hearing, and also from what I've heard from some of the other task force members, that there's no decisions have been made yet. You're still gathering information. You're going to be gathering information for quite a while. Willie, you're not on the task force, but you are sitting on the borough assembly and you are hearing presentations from the task force, and also you've heard presentations from Stroudwater. You've talked to some of the hospital officials here on the peninsula. Wondering if you can tell me, what you and the rest of the assembly are kind of dealing with as far as this influx of information.
Sure, absolutely, Quentin. Yeah, it's a complex subject, and you know, the task force was initiated by the mayor to look at methods to reduce costs both to the borough and to the borough residents, healthcare costs and potential tax liabilities for borough residents. And I am learning quite a bit about this, even though I'm not on the task force. We get presentations at the assembly meetings from the task force. And as Kelly said, this is a public process. All of the information is available on that borough website. There's a button on the right side of the homepage, healthcare task force. You just click on that and access all that information. You know, and I've talked with lots of people both before I was elected and since I've been elected about concerns over local control of our hospital, and that's a real big one. People don't want to have centralized management of a local hospital, and I understand that completely. And I also, you know, understand that we have three different hospitals on the peninsula in the borough, and that they're managed differently. We could see some cost savings through some cooperative management, not saying consolidation, but cooperation. For example, electronic, compatible electronic software, that kind of thing. You know, there's everything's on the table. I know some of the comment I've heard at the borough level include privatizing the hospitals, which I am not in support of, but I know some people think that would be the best way to go. I know Central Peninsula voted to not privatize their hospital a while back. So we've got a lot more information to receive and digest, and looking forward to having some good discussions around this. And Kelly mentioned a ballot, and something that might come on the ballot. It will not happen this year, perhaps 2017, but any major changes would have to go to the voters for approval.
All right. Kelly, do you have anything else that you want to add on this?
Sure. The reason that we're looking at healthcare on the peninsula is our system is not sustainable. With healthcare reform and changes in healthcare and how it's delivered worldwide, you know, the United States has the highest cost of healthcare and the poorest quality. And Alaska is the highest in the United States for the cost of healthcare. So when we look at how our budgets, you know, as we talk about our budget and how that's going to be affected, you know, we have the school district, we have the borough employees, and their healthcare costs are significant, and we have to look at some way that we can reduce the cost of healthcare and improve quality, because as we continue down the road of healthcare reform, that's how reimbursement is going to happen. It's going to be based on quality, and we can't continue to just chase the dollar. So this isn't really a borough-driven issue. It's a worldwide issue, and when we get to the point where people in our community and their insurance carriers are wanting to fly them outside because they can get care more affordable, we have a pretty significant issue that we need to look at and see how we can deliver that care right here, because we've got tremendous providers and great facilities. So it makes no sense to me why we're losing people and they are being migrated out of our community to get care elsewhere when we can do it right here. But we have to start focusing on the quality and reducing the cost. And that's going to help us with our budget. It's going to help with our insured folks, our uninsured folks, because whether you have insurance or not, you're still paying for that care. And so that's really where why we're looking at this in such a large, drawn out issue at the borough level, because maybe we can make a difference and figure out how to deliver a better quality product without all that out migration right here on the peninsula. And that's really where we can save money and our budget will be better affected.
I see. And you have both mentioned that there are concerns about losing local control, especially here around the Homer area and the Southern Peninsula. Wondering if that is, you know, if that's similar to what you see from residents of the Central Peninsula. Are they also worried about losing local control, or is this more something that your constituents are concerned about?
You know, I think that all three communities, we have the CEOs from all three facilities as advisory roles in the task force, and I think that all of the communities and all of the facilities are concerned about the rising cost of healthcare and how they're going to be able to maintain the facilities and the expectations. Alaska is also unique because we have such a broad spectrum of patients. You know, we aren't just all retired or all young families. We have the whole spectrum, and we have a very unique geographical area. So I think everyone understands that some changes need to be made, and it's not. It is about local control, but it's also about being able to deliver the service to our communities locally without having to have them go somewhere else to get their care. And I think that's a common issue for all three communities.
We are going to go ahead and move on here. Thank you for that, Kelly and Willie, for summing that up for us. It's a long, drawn-out discussion that we're going to be having for many months, I'm sure. So, Willie, here's a more of a more down-to-earth issue for your area. Over in Seldovia, Susan B. English School, they saw a little bit of fire damage, and the borough is helping them get some funds to get repairs for that. Wondering if you can tell us what happened there.
Sure. Yeah, unfortunately, there was a fire at the Susan B. English School back in November 2014, so it was a couple of years back. They've been getting by with some temporary facilities. It was a fire in the school shop, and so we're in the process of acquiring insurance claims to rebuild that. So it's going to be a pretty costly rebuild because it has to meet state standards and meet the regulations imposed by the state. So actually, we appropriated over $3 million from the insurance claims to address that rebuild. So we'll be, having a really nice facility over there. And since most of the money, there is some money that had come in from grants, and some of the design service was provided by the borough, but most of it is going to be financed through the insurance claims. So it won't be coming out of the taxpayer's pocket.
All right, nice. And that school, so that school's going to be trying to get a rebuild on that fire damage. But I'm wondering how long a process this is going to be, and in the meantime, what are they doing?
Yeah, like I said, in the meantime, they're using some temporary facilities. I believe, I haven't actually looked at it, but I believe they've got some Connex facilities there that they're using temporarily. And I do not have a schedule for when the rebuild is estimated to be finished. So I'd have to dig out some more information on that.
Okay, thank you. But schools in general are seeing a lot of needs that they're asking the state to fulfill, asking the borough for help with. We have a non-Wallach overcrowding for their school, and then also there's the schools in the Russian villages out here, Kachemak Silo and Vosnesenka both need funds for new facilities. Wondering what kind of involvement the borough has in this.
Well, that is a borough responsibility. That's one of our major responsibilities as a municipal government, is to provide school services. Of course, we get funded partially through the state for that. As you mentioned, the Nanwalek School is facing an overcrowding situation, and Kachemak Silo has a very dire situation out there. Their facilities are currently leased and very substandard. I had the chance to visit out there with the principal a few weeks ago, and the Kenai Peninsula School Board has voted to put replacement of the Kachemak Silo School at the top of their priority list, and the governor has included $10 million in this year's capital budget as his top priority for capital spending for replacing the school out at Kachemak Silo. Now, there's some concerns over the total cost of that, and because there's not a suitable road in there, materials would have to be barged in. And so it's a very expensive proposition to build a new school out there. Again, you know, building up to state standards, it's going to cost quite a bit of money. But we're also willing to work with the communities out there, with Resdolda and Vaznesenka and Ketchmek Silo to see if we can find some savings, if we can do some creative construction techniques or use, everything's on the table to try and get good facilities for the students out there at a reasonable cost.
And hopefully we're going to be able to see some kind of resolution to those issues in the future. So I'm going to go ahead and throw the mics over to you guys for this last 5 minutes we have on the show. You guys have some things that you've mentioned to me. Willie, you especially have some things that you mentioned to me that you're working with members of the community with, some projects you're working on. One was a soccer facility, right?
Well, I'll let Kelly talk about that one, but if I could talk about another project.
Go ahead.
We were approached by Dale Banks, who runs Loopy Lupin here, sells recycled products, about trying to get some borough composting going. And we had a study done a couple of years ago about trying to set up a composting pilot project up at the borough landfill. It was going to be pretty expensive to create the structures needed for that and purchase the equipment. And so, working with Dale, we've come up with an alternative to that. And the borough administration is very interested in setting up a pilot project, collecting food wastes from local restaurants, perhaps facilities like the hospital. We're still working on the details, but basically collecting food wastes and composting them rather than putting them into the borough landfill. So we're really excited about that, and I'm doing everything I can to help get that going.
It sounds like this is still in the planning stages. Is there any kind of timeline that you guys have?
Well, we're hoping that we might be able to get something going this spring and summer. The administration, chief of staff, and the mayor, both very supportive of it, as is the director of the landfill. So, we're looking at hopefully in the next few months.
Well, I'm going to have to keep an eye on that and hope to hear back from you on how it goes. Kelly, what about this soccer thing?
I just want to go back real quickly on the composting. That's a perfect example of where a prior assembly member put a lot of time and energy into something like that and got the ball rolling, and then Willie and I, working so closely with our districts overlapping, we get to come in and be the heroes. But actually, it started years ago, thanks to the efforts of Bill Smith. And he continues to sit on a recycling committee. So we're both very excited about that and thrilled that we get to work with an expert like Dale and work on that together. On the indoor soccer field, that's a project that's just now coming up. And as you know, the wheels of government move so slowly. It's frustrating for people when they come to us with these great projects, and it's going to be at the middle school. They've already got a site selected. They've got the funding to purchase the building. It's more like a indoor-outdoor facility where it'll be usable year-round, and all we have to do at the borough level is to provide the land on a long-term lease or a purchase, but then we've got access. So we are in the process of trying to get that very slow wheel moving, and we would like to see some kind of activity moving on that this spring or summer, but we have to do, land leases and forms and the public process, and so we're excited about it, but it's the starting portion of those projects is very slow.
I see. But hopefully in the end, there will be a new facility for the community, for kids to have some kind of place to go for recreation.
As well as pickleball and walking year-round. When we've done these studies in the past, it said home needs to be more walkable. So that would be a place where you could walk indoors year-round, as well as those of us that are approaching senior citizen age to play pickleball and get more of that movement.
Thank you very much. And Willie, did you have anything you wanted to add on that?
I just wanted to add that, these are really perfect examples of public-private partnerships, and we need to do more of that. It's not depending on the borough to provide a service for the residents and taxpayers. This is people coming forward with these ideas and the momentum and getting it going, and the borough assisting making it happen. So it's a great partnership.
Well, thank you guys for being involved in that, and thank you for coming onto the show today and sharing these things with us. It's been great to have you guys again.